Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5
and 92.5. All right, time to bring on Josh Pate. Josh Pate, College Football Show on YouTube. Josh Pate is presented by Walmart. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart. Josh, you're on YouTube. You're not affected by ESPN, right? People can see your show. Well, that is awesome.
Just YouTube.
Yeah, right. Just regular YouTube. Thank God you're not. Everybody can still see you, Josh. This thing. Hey,
I didn't even have to put out a hostage video either. It was great.
I hate it for the people though that can't see all that college football, Josh.
Yeah, it was. The thing about that whole crisis is it forced me to reevaluate what I'm actually a subscriber to. And I did not even know that I was a subscriber to the whole Hulu bundle. I think I really went through a sign-up spree about 2 years ago and then forgot what I signed up for. By the way, that probably describes a lot of people driving around. So I would highly advise people to just take a day and do an inventory of where your money's actually going. You may find some crazy things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I have. I know I do too.
Every day, PayPal. Apple, you just made a payment to Apple.
I know.
I'm like, what? I got to see what all this stuff is. I mean, I got Paramount. I got Peacock. I got the ESPN Hulu bundle. Like, Josh just talked about. Like, I got to make sure. I just realized, man, it's just. There's a little frustration because the rates keep going up on all of them, Josh. And, you know, it's sports. I mean, it's live sporting events, but that's where the. That's where the money is for these networks it's live sport. Hey, there's a reason ESPN went out and got the SEC. And CBS, I don't know if they'll ever bounce back not having the SEC from a college football standpoint.
Buddy, I just left there a year ago, and I mean, that was the talk constantly. Anytime I would talk with anyone at a high level who worked there, it was, you know, selfishly, I would say, how could you let this contract get away? And they were like, well, it's not our call. And then the follow-up is, are we really about to pay this amount of money for the second or third pick in the Big Ten in any given week? A conference that's notorious for having a thin shelf of inventory past the number one game? And they're like, yeah, that's all that's left. And I was like, okay, well, I'm probably out of here. Bye.
Wait. Let me. Are you not? So you're not CBS. Are you officially ESPN? Because I know you come on every week the same day you do our show on ESPN. Are you officially ESPN now?
I have a talent deal with them. I mean, I'm actually about to do something with them in about 30 minutes. Yeah. But as far as being employed, you're looking at him right here, my
That's
friend.
It. Just self-employed.
I know. You're That's doing it. It the right way.
So let's get your thoughts on the first college football playoff rankings.
I think Oregon is in a very precarious position, more precarious maybe than I thought they would be. I think a lot of the thought in the preseason was, hey, Oregon, man, they got to go to the Penn State game on the road, and even if they lose that one, as long as they don't drop another one, they'll be good. But even if they do drop another one, they'll be good. Okay, well, Oregon went and won the Penn State game. So when they won that one, no one knew Penn State was about to fall off a cliff. So everyone looked and said, boy, Oregon's smooth sailing to the playoff again. Well, as college football fate would have it, the Penn State game continues to lose its value. Now, I disagree with that logic, but we've spoken about that on this show many times. People just change the value of your games as the season goes on. So what my question is, after they ended up losing a game to Indiana, my question is, if they go lose Saturday to Iowa, in the pouring rain and cold. They'll be a two-loss team. They go ahead and finish 10-2. They're already sitting down there at number 9. So if they finish 10-2, and their final wins are against Minnesota, USC, and Washington. USC and Washington are ranked right now, sort of on the back end, but they're ranked right now. There's no guarantee they'll be ranked at the end of the year. I mean, is Oregon going to have any kind of, like, legit top 20 caliber win on the resume? And if they don't, how do they measure that 10-2 against a lot of the other bubble 10-2 teams? I never thought I'd ask that. And yet, when I saw them sitting at 9, I said, wait a second, that actually could be a question.
Losing late, which is always a death knell.
You see this as a real upset possibility, Josh.
Oh, I don't view it as that big an upset, actually. I've watched them play three common opponents. They've both played Penn State, and they were both down to the wire games. They've both played Wisconsin. Iowa beat Wisconsin far more soundly than Oregon did. And they've both played Indiana, and Indiana blew out Oregon at home. Iowa was within 5 of them. So, I mean, why would I be shocked if Iowa won this game? Not to mention the kickoff conditions are 44 degrees and steady rain. So it's going to be miserable there.
You're
going to
go there this week, right?
Oh, absolutely not. I hate that. No. Catch me in Lubbock, Texas.
How was your trip to Dallas? And what did your thoughts on Miami after that?
Oh, my goodness.
It was a good trip. It's always great when your first trip somewhere happens to end up being a trip that the people there will talk about, like a game that the people there will talk about for a long time. So we accomplished that. That was fun. We were part of a field storming. Great day. Actually, it rained in the first half, and then it was blue skies in the second half. So it was a fun second half of the day. I really am just crushingly disappointed in Miami right now. Like, for all the praise that you could give SMU, I mean, Miami's sitting there a second year in a row, and we're not even – I mean, we're barely to November now, and already we're talking about him as being out of it, even more so than last year. I think they've got less of a shot to make it in than they did last year. At least they were kind of on the bubble last year. They were sitting there at number 18 in the first rankings, and I don't really know what their path up is because they don't really have any legitimate competition left, and by that I mean legitimate competition that would boost your resume. They could certainly lose again. We know that. And so, man, they play the kind of game that their opponents should play against them. Miami outmans most teams they play. When you outman a team, logic says you should want more plays. You want more series. You want more opportunities for your more talented guys to expose the edge you have over the other team. Miami's the opposite. Miami plays these compacted games. They try and go on these methodical, steady drives, and they end up with 2 or 3 fewer possessions than they should have. And it puts the game in total variance, and SMU ended up winning another one the other day. It's just like the Louisville game, the way it played out.
It's funny because the first person to introduce that concept to me was Kevin Sumlin when he was at, I think he was at U of H. And so it was a long time ago. And he talked about, you know, and we were talking about, and this was, God, however long ago it would have been. Like, you know, don't you need it in the fourth quarter, want to learn how to eat up the clock? And, you know, the concept is you get ahead. You know the old school concept, Josh, is you get ahead and you start eating up the clock, which we've seen Mike Elko do this year. We've actually seen this with Mike Elko. And I still don't think it's a bad concept to clock manage once you get up. However, Kevin Sumlin told me, Lance, when you the more plays you get, so we score a certain amount of points per play. So the more plays we run, statistically, the more points we're going to score. And so if you maintain that concept throughout a game, you actually want to play faster and get – and this is, as I mentioned a while back, but this is what you're talking about, Josh. If you were the better team with better talent, the more plays that are run, the math starts to really work in your favor.
Yes, and there's another thing there. Okay, it's got to be situational. Like, obviously, if we're sitting here 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and I got a 10-point lead – I want to compact the game at that point. I'm no longer worried about my athletic edge. My athletic edge got me a lead, and now I'm doing what's in the best interest of winning me this game. Miami's sitting there with 10 minutes to go in the second quarter, and the game's forever. I mean, the ending's forever away, and they're already playing that style, and the other side's got to be looking at them and wanting to send them a Hallmark card, saying thank you. Like, one of our best opportunities for us to be in this game in the fourth quarter is for you to get us there as quickly as possible.
It's that, because I'm hearing Shannon Dawson for possibly Oklahoma State. Is this hurting him? Is this, or is this Mario's? Is that That's his philosophy?
Mario.
Well, it's Shannon Dawson's not doing anything that's not signed off on by the head man. Let me put it that way. Strategically, they're not doing anything there that's not signed off on by the head man. Now, here's the other part of this, and I'm certainly not trying to make excuses for anyone, but I wonder when they look at their personnel, how do they feel about it offensively? How do they feel about their personnel? I've heard a lot of people talk about their offensive line and the strengths and weaknesses there. But I'm speaking more specifically about their tailback depth, and I'm speaking about their quarterback's ability. I wonder how they really self-scout that, because that may completely, like if we had Mario on the line right now, we injected him with truth serum, he may listen to all this and say, yeah, I agree with this in theory. However, here's why we're doing it the way we're doing. You may want to think about this. And I think his answer, if he went that route, would be, we kind of figured out what we do and don't have with Carson Beck, and we're trying to work around the weaknesses there.
Hold on, Dell wants to jump
Josh, in. That would make some sense, but he pulled the same stuff with Justin Herbert at Oregon. So I would agree if he was like, Carson Beck, can't really trust him. He throws a pick, they come in bunches. But this was a complaint about him at Oregon when he had a top-five pick at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this. In scouting him a lot when I used to write the summer series, Justin Herbert never got better from his sophomore year at Oregon. That's why his ascension in the pros as a rookie, I was like, wow, this is, you know, we didn't see him ever get better under Mario Cristobal after his sophomore year.
Yeah, so there's a lot of validity to that. Then to take it a step further, all right, you got to ask yourself, well, what do you do? So if let's say you're Mario, let's say you're the athletic director in Miami and you're talking with Mario, like, what do you do? Do you take a step back? Do you remove yourself, make yourself more of a CEO type? Like, I always wonder this. Whenever any head coach realizes a limitation or a blind spot, that's part one of it. Most of them never get that far. But even if they get that far, what's the next step? Because what you're not going to do is say, oh, I guess I'm resigning tomorrow. Don't think that's an option. So if you plan on being there a long time, but you also want to elevate and you want to win, you want to get better, like realistically, what is that step? I think it's one of the hardest things in competition, in life, in sports, whatever, to be the head of something, but to realize, hey, man, I'm not perfect. Oh, look, a really huge flaw of mine has appeared in front of me. How am I going to address that? Hopefully fix it. But if not fix it, how am I going to rearrange ourselves organizationally so that doesn't continue to kill us?
That's rare. Yeah. That's rare for a coach to have that level of humility, though.
Josh, BYU, Texas Tech, loser out?
I don't know that the loser is out. Because Brigham Young, let's just say it's Brigham Young. They're a double-digit dog. Well, like 10 points, but that counts for double-digit dog. Let's say they lose, you know, by 7 or whatever. They still stand the best shot to get to Dallas to play for the Big 12 championship. So, no, the loser's not out. Now, I would wonder what happens with Texas Tech if they lose. I don't even actually off the top of my head know what happens in the odds market there. I will tell you guys this. So, right now, it's a great time to be Texas Tech. It's a great time to be Joey McGuire. But I think we all know how that roster was put together. I think we all know the purpose behind putting that roster together that way and what the expectation there is. And Joey's one of the best dudes in the world. I love him to death. I remember about a month ago now, I was talking to you guys about Brian Kelly, who is nothing like Joey McGuire, but principle applies here. And there was not a whole lot of hot seat talk around him. And yet I told you guys they were going into the Vanderbilt game, and I said, if they lose this one, the volume's going to get turned up really, really quickly, and then his job will be on the line during the A&M game. And sure enough, he lost those two games. He is no longer at LSU. I really am just sitting here wondering how quickly it could go south for Texas Tech and I don't expect this to happen, but if they were to lose a game like this, because that would be their second loss. They're probably all of a sudden just out of the playoff picture. And that experiment will have failed.
Lincoln Riley.
So
that's an interesting
an
interesting name, isn't it?
You cryptically dropped Lincoln Riley this week. Is there anything podcast?
Oh, I said that a couple weeks ago to you, John, that I had heard that was a name to keep an eye on if Joey, because Blake, whatever, the billionaire, look, he wants the most. He wants the best driver of the most expensive vehicle he can find.
Yep. And
it's
Josh,
it's just an interesting concept to toss around, isn't it?
Yep.
It would make a lot of sense. You know, something I don't want to sleep on this. I want to get into the actual participants here. People need to watch this one because Bear Bachmeier is someone you need to know. 6'2", 220 pounds, dual threat freshman quarterback who is really talented. And he's going up against Baron Morton, who very quietly is one of the most steady quarterbacks in college football right now. 6'2", 220, senior pocket passer. So it's a, you know, same size guy. One's a freshman, one's a senior, different style of football. That quarterback matchup is going to be a really fun matchup in that one. And I think Bear is someone that we really need to pay close attention to moving forward because I think we're going to hear a lot about him over the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's a good call. And also, with young quarterbacks, a lot of times people do this in general. So people speak about teams and players like they're robots. So you get to week one and you watch a team play or you watch a player play, and that's the die is cast right there. That's who that player or that team is for the year. Well, that's not true. Teams are full of humans, and humans change and grow or weaken every single day. Well, with the quarterback position, especially in college, think about a freshman. Think about how different a freshman is week one to week nine or week 10. And so I think about that with him. I think about that with their passing offense. Like I think about that with any team in any stat category. That's why when you throw out so-and-so is, you know, 93rd pass rush in the country. Okay, but what if they've gotten top 10 pressure rate over the past 3 weeks because they got healthy or their freshmen rounded into form? I don't really care what they were in week one or week two. That's kind of the story with him. And I'm telling you, they are running against the number one run defense in the country this weekend. So if Brigham Young wins this game, it's probably going to be because he found a way to win it. So, yeah, that's absolutely something to watch.
Where are you going this week?
That's where I'm going. 11 a.m. kickoff in Lubbock.
Nice.
It's you know what? It's very quietly the best game on the schedule.
Yeah. It's so easy to get to. You're going to be that'll be fun.
Good hiking up there in Palo Duro if you get there early. If you and the missus both go up there, some pretty good hiking up there if you're willing to go to Palo Duro.
Headed out there. I'm getting there as early as I've gotten there for any game. I'm going out there tomorrow morning. I'm spending all day out there. I am very, very irrationally excited for this trip.
John, there's that place. Remember, if you eat 96 ounces of steak, including the gristle, it's for free? Josh, and you look like a guy who chomps up a lot of protein.
You're telling me you get to 88 or 89 ounces and you're still paying for all of it.
Yeah.
You got to get to 96.
Well, you got
to
commit. You're either committed or you're not.
At 95, you're not getting a dime back.
No.
Okay, well, let me take it under advisement. I can't give you a yes or no.
The old 96er.
Let me think about it.
Yep.
96 ounces of steak is no joke, you know?
Nope.
And I think they make you eat a baked potato with it. That's a really sucker move of them.
Before you go, Texas, they're in a nice, well, if they win out, they're in, right? I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. But they're in a nice position at 11, even though they're out of it right now. But I was a little surprised that they're first team out right now.
They are 100% in control of their destiny. They still have two games against top whatever, wherever Georgia is, top six, top seven. I am almost tempted to ask the question, what about a three-loss Texas? What if they go lose close on the road to Georgia and then end their season with a win over A&M, who at that point is still maybe undefeated? That may end up being the team. We always wondered, would a three-loss team make it in? That may end up being the three-loss resume that has the best chance to make it in. I know that would just thrill the rest of the country. The three-loss team that makes it in is, drumroll, Texas. All right. But let me tell you, man, if that performance we've seen the last couple of games from Arch is the Arch Manning, speaking of evolving into the player you're going to be, if that is the Arch we're going to get, if Wingo's going to come alive like that and create explosives, Texas is not an easy out right now. They're not perfect, but then again, no one is.
No, Arch is starting to play like he's supposed to.
Yeah, I'm going to have to guard against so there's always a positive filter and negative filter. Like when I watch tape on players, and I always say you got to avoid, because it creates confirmation bias one way or another. That's the same thing when you analyze teams, either handicapping wise or just being, you know, just analyzing, is that you see, like, I've had to work on Alabama for getting Florida State, and it hasn't been easy. I'm having to do the same thing with Texas, because, but we've got a lot of these games, right? We had UTEP earlier in the year. I think it was UTSA, whoever it was. It was the Ohio State. I threw that one away. That one doesn't matter to me. But then that, man, it's hard to get away from Kentucky and Mississippi State. It really is. And that was a great win against Vanderbilt. It's just so hard getting away from what we saw in the last two road games. And then Sark, I mean, can Sark, does he have any chance against Kirby? And then can they score in the, God forbid, if this game gets in the 30s against the Aggies, can Texas muster enough to get to 30 against the Aggies?
That is a great question, my friend. I do think that Georgia front, it's going to give Texas a shot, even Texas being on the road. They'll have a shot there.
Not the same Georgia at all.
That's correct. But that task against A&M at the end of the year, that will be tall.
That's Josh Pate. You can see him on YouTube, the Josh Pate College Football Show. He's brought to you here by Walmart. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew Walmart? Get to your that little thing you're doing with ESPN.
Well, yeah, you can see him on ESPN coming up, what, about 10 minutes? Of course, unless people have YouTube TV.
Yeah, not if you have YouTube TV, you can't see him. But otherwise, you
we're
can.
We're working on it.
Otherwise, you can see him. Josh, as always, man, thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. I'm talking right now, HRP. HRP is where you make your business better. So you are with an admin company, right? So your admin company says, well, we look at our prices for payroll is cheaper than over there at HRP. Our HR, okay, and everybody, you need HR, so you got to do that. But here's our, look at this. You got to take this benefits package. You got to take our 401k. You got to take our insurance. Now all of a sudden, you'll look at that package with your admin company and you go, wait a minute, this thing's awfully expensive. Well, HRP is not going to force their insurance or 401k on you because they don't have that. They don't do that. So in the long run, that's the dirty little secret. They're going to tell you over here, oh, we charge less for payroll. But over here, they're crushing you with the 401k or the insurance package. So HRP, when you look at it, HRP is going to be better for you and your company because they're going to fit you with the best 401k, the best for you and your people, the best insurance packages. They're going to do all that, all those benefits packages. They don't sell those. They just help you find the best ones. So you're looking for the best way to get that HR payroll benefits packages to your people. Take a look at HRP, what they do. Let them come and give you an analysis. A free analysis on what you're doing business-wise. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Little fish, big pond.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us. You're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. So Rockets win last night. We haven't talked about that in a while. Rockets with the win last night over Memphis. It was pretty easy. Memphis made a little bit of a run on them, but then the Rockets pulled away again. It seemed like it was double digits most of the night. It was just... Amen was just awesome. And, you know, they put up 124 and Kevin Durant scored 11. You know, I saw somebody say, you know, if you thought that this team, you know, had to rely on, it had to be a 30-point a night for Kevin Durant, you were mistaken. There was, at the end of the game, though, Kevin Durant was sitting on the bench and he was just staring straight at all the guys were talking around him.
They
and
were
everything.
Smiling and laughing.
They were all, and Kevin Durant was just staring straight forward. And
yeah, looking. I just think that's his personality. I mean,
yeah, maybe.
Alpian, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because Alpian, Amen were laughing. Like, those guys are best friends. I would much rather Alpi's best friend be Amen Thompson than Kevin Porter Jr. We've come a long way from when Alpi came
when
into the league.
Get off?
I'm just saying that's how far we've come. There were people who were ready to, who thought KPJ was the truth. He was the answer. My gosh, isn't it so much better for Alpi's best friend to be Amen Thompson, ball first?
Yeah.
That guy loves ball. I mean, Stone and Ime did a great job of cleaning up the locker room and getting guys who love balling here. And watching the connection, you know, on the sidelines and on the court between those two players is really, really fun. And Amen was smiling and laughing. Like, he clearly, Alperen's personality is one that is clearly, he's a big goofy kid is what he is. And I mean that in a very lovable, I mean that in a kind way. He's a big goofy kid who just happens to have great vision and can, you know, can finish on three levels.
Yeah. No, this is a fun team. A lot of people already have them. I mean, I saw one place that had them being the number one seed this year. They're number one in offense. They're five in defense, and they're number one ranking overall already. You know, even after the first two games where they lost, this team, it took a couple of games for them, and you know the competition hasn't been.
Yeah, well, they're blowing the doors off teams that aren't as good.
Right, right. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, no question. They look really, really good. They look really, really good already. I mean, after the first couple of games, it was like, I don't know that anybody. But, you know, I think Ime said it. He said, it's going to take a little time for us to get to know each other and learn how to get KD the ball and where to get it and everything else. But Jabari looked good. It was nice that little injury he had wasn't serious. They just look like Tari is looking. Listen, Tari Tucker is going to be a problem this offseason. The teams are going to come after him. He ain't taking a hometown discount. And maybe more than that, he wants to be a starter in the league. And so I don't know, and they love Tari. They love Tari. I think it's going to be a problem to get him long term here. I think Tari is going to probably be, when he can become unrestricted, he probably will be.
Yeah, I would think so. It makes the most sense for his career.
Yeah, it really does. Nothing against that.
Nothing against him. It makes the most sense for him to go somewhere where he can play and start, and he's a starting caliber player. The Rockets tried to sign him. They were unable. I don't know that it's going to get any better for them. They have a value. And as we've seen with Rafael Stone, up to this point, he's been pretty good at finding the proper value for a player, not drastically overpaying. The Fred VanVleet thing was just, the first contract was just a product of a very, very strong need, and they happened to have money they had to spend. So Fred got, you know, a very player-friendly deal. But other than that, it's been a series of very equitable, fair deals.
Well, then he took less. Kevin Durant took less. LP, you know, he took a deal, a team-friendly deal.
Alpi took a deal that was very fair for what Alpi was at that time. He didn't get projected money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, when he got the deal, it was before he had ever been an All-Star.
Yeah.
Which is smart that the Rockets went in and did that. If they projected him getting a lot better, it's smart to go in and get a deal done now.
Well, in the initial, listen, Alpi's initial defense was not great. And it was a point with the organization that they were, you know, a little worried. They loved LP, but, you know, the defensive part of it, it took Ime to come in. Of course, nobody was playing any defense. But, you know, it took Ime to come in here and LP to be as committed as he is.
Right.
Dude is all about that. What he did this offseason for his shot is incredible. Working with Dream has helped his footwork. Being a gym rat and throwing up as many three-pointers as he could. Look at how his shot is smooth.
Mm-hmm.
He is, Alpi, I know he's probably the odd man out on the All-Star team because of the way that they're going to do it, but he might be as deserving as the other two guys, as Kevin Durant or as Alperen Şengün. But it might be a numbers thing for him because they're only going to take, you know, eight guys from outside the U.S. That sucks. It's not the best players. It's the I don't know.
I'm trying to win championships.
I guess they have to keep on doing this kind of stuff just to make the, because the All-Star game is so uninteresting.
Yeah, but you know, At the end of the day, let's just win championships. That's cool for him and all that stuff, but who cares? I'd rather Alpe not even play. Don't even play. Don't waste your time over there. Too many thoughts running around the All-Star game.
He doesn't care about Alpe's individual happiness. D'Amico's right about people like him.
Yeah, no.
He's right. And I care
he's
about
worried Alpe about thoughts team. Again.
I care about you. You always have to be. You always have you to don't be. Really. At an All-Star game? What are you, at an All-Star game?
Why do you think some of these guys, look, it happens
I'm watching
to some of them.
Euphoria.
But
there's thoughts running around.
Stop watching
what are
Euphoria.
You, RG3's mom?
No. RG3's mom? You mean Jaden Daniels' mom?
I mean, Jaden Daniels'
He's going down that same path. Another injury. But some of these guys have been dealing with thoughts for a long time and play just fine.
That's right. RG3 was also played at Washington and was Rookie of the Year.
Got hurt against Seattle.
And then just got hurt when he was running and then couldn't make it back.
How about Jaden got hurt when they're down 30?
Yeah.
My God.
Dan Quinn was like, yeah, I probably should have had him out of the game.
I should have probably taken him out.
Okay, but when is the last time you've seen a team get blown out and they just take their starter out? It doesn't happen that often.
I mean, if you're getting blown out in the fourth, it happens. Yeah, I've watched my team do it quite a bit this year.
Not a lot it doesn't happen. Not when a player's just coming back and needs to get back into the groove. I mean, Dan is the one who himself said I should have taken him out.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have taken him out in the second quarter because that game was over.
You lost him in a 30-point game. I mean, are you kidding me? You lost your season because in a 30-point game. That's dumb. That's just dumb.
Is there a number where you take your quarterback? Every team should take their
quarterback
out.
When you can't
out?
Win anymore.
Take your quarterback out? No one does that, though.
I saw,
maybe they should start.
I've seen it happen at least twice with my team already.
But it happens rarely. Your quarterback has a long history of concussions.
And also, but still. And their quarterback was coming off an injury in a game you
and
couldn't
you've
win.
Got Quinn Ewers. Just like you've always got
he's
a guy
not the start.
To
he's not even the backup. Is that
oh, he's
again.
Got go-to?
Yeah, he's
and they have Marcus Mariota. Like former Heisman winner.
Yeah,
Heisman.
That's true. He is former Heisman winner.
Two Heisman trophies.
And Oregon Hall of Famer, probably.
You come right
I
back with a Heisman trophy.
I mean, if Shador has got his jersey retired at Colorado, does Marcus Mariota have his retired at
Oregon?
I don't
know if they brought him back for that yet, but you would think that it'll happen if it hasn't already. But there's no reason for Jaden Daniels to be in that game. And now you get more Marcus Mariota. How do you like that?
Shador's a better pro.
Then who, Marcus Mariota?
He won a playoff
game,
I think.
What are you talking about? Shador's never even taken a pro
this
snap,
year,
has
anyway.
He?
This year. No, he hasn't
He's
taken
never
a
taken a pro snap.
It's better. You're better off. No one knows. Everybody's
Marcus
still
has never
talking
been...
about, why aren't you playing Shador? Well, because maybe he's
I have.
Not...
That's actually, I've noticed that's kind of calmed down a little bit.
Yeah, but they're still asking him. They're still asking
him. Well, of course.
That's how you get the people to watch. Chris Canny went on a rant about how bad Dylan Gabriel is. I imagine it's because
he had that in the chamber.
You gotta get that off so you can lean into Shador should play.
Well, try to get YouTube TV to pay that fee.
Maybe Shador
pay that
should
fee.
Call.
We got Shador talk coming.
Maybe Shador should call John Daspit and sue Kevin Stefanski.
If he's well, if they do something that ends up getting him injured, what does Jaden Daniels have a case?
Well, he
should. Is John
negligence
Daspit answer the phone and it's Jaden Daniels or Jaden Daniels' mom on the other line and saying, "Hey, do we have a case?" Well, you know, if you don't know if you have a case, you can call John Daspit's office at 713, call now, and they'll consult with you about your case. They'll find out what happened. And you go through and you tell them what happened, and they may ask some other questions. And they'll tell you, yes, you have a case, no, you don't. I know a listener who reached out to me and said, hey, they said I don't have a case. And he was really frustrated, and I totally understood. And I reached out to John Daspit about it, and I said, what's the deal? And John laid everything out to me. And he goes, this is why he has no chance of winning this case. And we don't want him to, you know, we're trying to be very honest with him. And that's what they'll do for you. They'll be honest about your case and if you can win it. They only get paid if you win a case anyway. So they want to make sure that you are have the best chance to win your case possible. And if you're injured, you know, it's going to be something that they want you to get to wherever you need to get to document any issues that you have. If you're injured, I know a lot of guys don't like to go to the hospital, or even if they hurt, you just think you'll walk it off. No, you need to go. Get the x-rays, get the CAT scans, get the MRIs. Find out exactly how you got injured. Sometimes you end up having stress fractures you don't know about, and they get worse and worse and worse over time. He'll get that taken care of, your bills for medical. He'll get your bills for time missed from work, short-term, long-term, and then your pain and suffering will be accounted for. And he fights for you. Doesn't care about that insurance agent who's trying to squeeze you and get the lowest payout possible. He's trying to make sure you are taken care of. 713, call now or DaspitLaw.com.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You may be watching Matthew Wright kick field goals for your team this week.
Who is that?
That's our new kicker.
Matthew Wright? I never even wrote him up.
Well, that's who was sitting at home waiting for the call. Will he kick a 69-yard field goal this week?
Oh, he's kicked for Washington before. He's 170.
No, I'm answering that question for you.
Well, I'm telling you, you don't know. You don't know. I mean,
you asked and I answered.
Right. Okay, so you're sure?
Yes.
That he will not set the record.
He won't tie. Is it at 68 or 69? 68. What's the record now?
Oh, my God.
Cam Little last week, 68.
68. He got drug tested, too.
He did?
Yeah, he got a note in his locker.
Well, no, what they need to do, you know they changed the rule about the football, right?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want to your K-ball. It's in your control now.
You wonder why now they're kicking 70-yard field goals? I mean,
it's a compression where they make it less hard.
Yeah.
You know, they make it more malleable. They were doing it anyway, but they weren't doing it to the kicker satisfaction, so they give it to him in advance to work on the ball. It's kind of like rubbing down the baseball, right, with the Mississippi clay or whatever it is.
Didn't it play out that because of, I don't know, a timeout or a late decision that a kick was made with a regular football? I think
And it was missed, right?
Yeah, it was missed. I forgot which game it was, but because they were vacillating between going forward or kicking it, they wound up running out there and they had to kick it.
Well, the team is responsible for providing the football, and they didn't provide the right football.
Yeah, because they weren't sure what they wanted to
do. By the way, Matthew Wright has played for 7 different NFL teams.
He hasn't been a team's frontline kicker like to start the year since 2021. He was the Jags kicker in 2021. And then since that point, he's filled in when other kickers got hurt.
Really has been actually quite good. He makes it an 87.5 mark, which is really good. 87.5 is a good mark. He hasn't missed a 20-29 in his career, has missed 130-39. He's 15 of 18, 40-49, which is,
Yeah, but we need 50 yarders.
He's 7-11.
7-11, which is... Frankly, you would think it's really good, but by NFL standards now, that's just expected that you're at least 7-11.
Yeah. Yeah, he was Urban Meyer's kicker of choice for the Jags in 2021, and he hasn't been anyone's kicker of choice since.
Well, it's got a special place. Special place. And we've got a special place for Davis Mills this week. Davis Mills is going to be starting. Interesting little soundbite from Davis this week. He did some self introspection after in 2023 when CJ got hurt, those couple of games, they chose Case Keenum over him. And Davis said it changed him. Here is from Will Kunkel. Here is Davis Mills.
Definitely. I think it leads you to obviously be introspective, kind of look at yourself and what else I could be doing to really gain these guys' trust and be as confident in my abilities as I am in myself. I think I've worked really hard to prove to those guys that I can go out there and be successful day in and day out. I mean, I think I've shown that to my teammates as well, so it's going to be fun on Sunday.
When you had those meetings, whether it be after the season or when that decision was made, what was either told to you? Where did you, like, specifically work on gaining that trust?
I mean, I think just my constant mindset coming into work every day. I try to be myself, the same person walking into the building, regardless of what's been said or done to me. I mean, I'm coming here to play football and do my job, and play good football at that, so... I mean, that's the mindset I carry with me. Never get too high on yourself, never get too low on yourself, but kind of have that unwavering confidence to go out there and perform. And I mean, the biggest thing, I feel like I always look at the quarterback as a facilitator. So I got 10 other guys out there on the field with me doing their job at a high level. And when everything starts clicking, I'm just one of those chess pieces.
Mm-hmm. Will, okay, Davis Mills under over 190 yards passing?
Over.
Over 190?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I will say, I am a little concerned for the Texans this week. They're a two-point dog at home, and I actually like Jacksonville. But and that has nothing to do with being over and pat. I mean, if you get behind, more likely it is you're going to throw. But remember now, they got bullied pretty bad by Walker and Josh Hines Allen. Allen Hines, I can't remember how he's, which one comes first in the hyphen game. But their two edge rushers are powerful, powerful bull rushers. And if it's Fisher and Ursary had real problems in that matchup last time. Fisher, I think, is going to have the blues this game. If Titus Howard doesn't make it, that's a really big one.
That's before we went to six linemen.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You can't go to six linemen.
Well, if Howard's back, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, if Howard's,
not if
back,
Howard's not playing.
If Howard's not.
Well, if he's not playing, then you got Lakin and Juice.
Yeah, like yeah, I said, that's great. Now the line has gone to plus four. Just you even mentioning that both could play at the same time has gone to four.
Okay.
I think it could be a really, really bad day for the offensive line against Jacksonville if Titus Howard's not back. And really, frankly, it wasn't great for him in the first game. It was actually terrible for the offensive line in the last matchup, and Howard did play. So with Blake Fisher, it's going to be a real problem. You don't have your normal kicker. You don't have your starting quarterback. You may not have your starting right tackle. I'm not worried for the defense.
You don't care about
this team. Yeah, I mean.
Just cared about. He cares. A lot of guys are banged up. He cares about their health and safety.
No, you pick against them every week. What are you talking about?
But he thinks they're going to lose.
Every week you're saying they're going to lose.
Rightfully so. They're 3-5. He'd be right quite a bit if he was picking against them every week.
Right a lot.
Yeah.
Well, not this week.
Better than most of the
handicappers. I actually thought they were going to win last week.
I think they're going to win this week.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win this week. I do. I really do.
With D Mills. Did you watch Skills last week? Skills Mills?
And I said this on Monday, a week of practice is going to make a difference.
With Nick Cayley. Okay.
Is Nick Cayley still calling the plays?
Yes, so we found that out. He's still calling.
Do we have the audio of D'Amico's reaction to it?
Well, you got to see him, though.
He was perplexed.
Will Kunkel asked him, is Nick Cayley still calling the plays? And D'Amico, yeah, why wouldn't he? And he had this look, and he was about to say something else, and somebody asked a question. And D'Amico was not at all pleased with that question.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't he? There's a reasonable response to why wouldn't he, except
what did you
there's
say
no
to
one
me?
Else to go to.
No,
who,
I know.
Who else
yeah.
is he going to go to?
Well, I get asking, but the ask is you already know the answer. So
yes, of course he's still
I'd be
course.
Shocked if Will Kunkel didn't already know the answer, so I'm not sure why he asked the question.
But I think that was just antagonistic. We got to get Will on. I mean, what are you doing?
D'Amico's already pissed off. Why are you starting this?
Hey, maybe you specifically. After
well, maybe
back
he wants to get maybe
time.
Maybe he wants to get him off DJ and get him. You know, or I'll take some of the heat himself.
Or Will saw the Bill O'Brien thing and wanted one for his own.
Right. I need.
He wanted one of those.
I need to go viral.
Yeah. And he's got he's got his phone pointed at D'Amico. He would have had a great moment.
But D'Amico's face is what you got to see. He was like dumbfounded. He's like, "What? Yes. Why wouldn't he?" That was so funny. Nice job, Will. I'm looking at the odds on ESPN Bet, but not for long. Their deal, apparently, they have a deal with Penn Entertainment for 10 years, $2 billion. Mm-hmm. And ESPN has already said, nah, we're going to close it. We're shutting it down.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, it was a losing. Did Barstool close theirs, too?
I don't know.
I think Barstool may have closed theirs too. ESPN closes theirs.
Wait, what happens with Joe and Aaron? More importantly, what happens with Aaron?
Doesn't do anything. They've now turned their attention. They said they're going to officially aligning with DraftKings. So it's not. I mean, they're not going away. They're going to keep talking.
They're going to keep talking.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to keep talking gambling stuff. Yeah. They just don't have their own sports book because they were losing money.
Yeah,
I guess they were losing money. I mean. Penn Entertainment, they had a 10-year deal, and it didn't even last 2 years.
Yeah. I don't know I don't know if that helps or what, but a 10-year, $2 billion deal done in 2 years. So I don't know. I hope that doesn't affect my – that's all I care about.
I just watched D'Amico's face.
I'm telling you.
His eyes are super – that is a – that face is awesome.
Will Kunkel just wanted some heat.
Why would he not call plays?
I wish
no one would have jumped in with a question.
I know.
Left it lingering a little bit so D'Amico would have said something again.
He was about to say – he was like, what? And then somebody asked a question.
I wish Bill O'Brien would get asked that. Are you going to keep calling plays, Billy?
Will.
Are you going to keep calling plays? Are you going to keep coaching this team?
Clear in your Bill dark, O'Brien? Clouded.
Yeah, well. Give me the whole thing, Dylan.
You want the whole
thing? Yeah, I want the whole thing.
You can go out there in your dark, clouded world or whatever it is and do what you want to do. We're not down. The sun is up.
They're 1-8. Couldn't happen to a better, nicer
The guy. Sun is up.
Sun is up.
Yeah. They feel great about themselves.
I think he's got a great perspective. Look, yeah, we're not playing the way I'd like. We're not closing out games. Hell, we kept Notre Dame to a 2-score win, but the sun is up. Guys, have some perspective. It's just football. No dark clouds here.
No.
Coming in here with that mug of yours and your dark cloud.
You come in here, what, once a month and come ask these questions? You're always down. My dad said, hey, did you hear the Bill O'Brien thing? I said, yeah, we played it, we talked to him. He goes, that reminds me of the way you said he was talking to you on the phone that one time. I said, it's exactly what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most sensitive, rabbit-eared coach I've ever seen in my life. It really doesn't like any form of, not only criticism, doesn't even like questions that, or any intimation that things aren't going great.
Well, all Mike asked was, hey, What would you say to the fans? It's been a tough year, 1-8. What would you say to the fans? And then we heard what we heard. Mike bringing that dark cloud into the facility. Because I imagine Bill's a ray of sunshine for everyone when they're 1-8. I'm sure he walks into a room and everyone feels lighter when Bill O'Brien walks into the room.
Oh, let me tell you, it's multiple people at the Texans building who I talked to said it's, except one who is really in his, weirdly in his corner. They just said it is like, everyone is on eggshells, and they would wait for the first interaction. They would know in the first 30 seconds usually what kind of day it was going to be because it wouldn't change. And so if he came in, it could actually go bad, but it never got better. And so they said it was like if he MF'd the lunch ladies or whatever, and his, you know, when he walked in the building, they're like, oh, God, this is going to be terrible.
What do you think could have got him on a brighter path, like a pastry? Like if someone had a Danish waiting for him? When he walked in,
think it's possible.
No,
He's a masshole. It's just
no.
It's what it is. It's just how he's wired, and he just looks mean.
Guess what? On top of his attitude, he's 1-8. So that is a recipe.
There can't be anything that makes him happy possible. At Boston College.
No. Everybody in that building is on eggshells.
And then that question he had, like, you lost to a Catholic university. Like, what is that? Was that a thing?
It's that Catholic rivalry, BC versus Notre Dame.
But that's not, you didn't have a chance this year.
They don't have a chance most years.
Actually, BC covered.
It's only year two.
We actually covered, Brian. You should know. You're so down, you didn't know we covered the number, Mike?
Yeah.
You come in here with your anti-point spread stuff. What's our spread record? You never even tell. You always talk about our straight-up record. You never mention our spread number. We've got 3 wins against the spread. You've always this dark cloud. You're like that pig pen guy in Charlie Brown. You always got some dirty cloud following you around. Why are you so mad all the time? Okay, we're fighting in here. There's a ray of sunshine. Always, there's sunshine beaming out of our asses because we're out here trying to win. Okay, there's no problems in this locker room. Let's check that portal when the year's over. Get a BC portal check.
We're not down. The sun is up.
See?
Yep, the sun is up.
Sun's up.
The sun is way up. All right. 713-780-3776.
Oh, big deal. Somebody corrected me. The big Texan where you have to eat the 96 ounces is in Amarillo, not Lubbock. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Switzerland, Sweden, Amarillo, Lubbock. It's probably Dallas, Fort Worth.
Switzerland,
two different countries.
Yeah, but it's the same thing.
Is it?
Belgium and Amsterdam or Netherlands. Yeah, it's all the same thing. Yeah. Amarillo and Lubbock. No one knows the difference between those
two. You should. You're a Texan.
That's pretty true.
That's what but I'm a Texan, so if I say Amarillo and Lubbock's the same, they're the same.
Right.
Old 96er. Okay? Yeah. You can, there's probably a chain, and it's probably in Lubbock also.
Yeah. Well, your wife just got
How far away is it, honestly? How far do you think? I don't know the answer.
I'm Amarillo?
Amarillo and Lubbock. I'm assuming it's far. Like Dallas, Fort Worth. No, I know they're far away from us, from each other.
No, from each other.
What, about 6 miles? It's like Richmond and Rosenberg?
122 miles.
It's like 122 miles? It's not like Richmond and Rosenberg?
No, it's not. No, they're not sister cities or anything.
It's not like Dallas, Fort Worth?
No. Minneapolis, St. Paul? No,
they're
it's none of that.
They're like an hour and
about
a half away?
2 hours away from each other.
That seems impossible.
No, that's I'm looking at it right now. No. You know what's not impossible?
It's from us to like Lake Charles?
Calling Kent Jones.
Yeah, dream rate.
No. All right.
Dream rate.
Come on, John. I led you right into it.
I'm doing dream rate right now. Okay, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Kent Jones. I want to talk about 30 years as a discount mortgage lender in Texas, an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau. Kent Jones is the man when it comes to getting you your mortgage and saving you, not only at the time of signing, but throughout the entirety of the loan. Okay, you don't know which loan is best for you. Okay, he can pick the one. He can help you select the one that fits you best, that saves you the most money. First-time buyer, whether you're a military, there's all kinds of different ways, your age, all kinds of different ways for him to help you select the best mortgage for you, to have the best title company for you, inspections. There's all kinds of things that you got to do when it comes to your mortgage. You don't know it. He does. When you're talking about 30 years in the business, when you're talking about over 1,400 different closings, I mean, he is the man that is going to help you get through this. He's going to help you to maybe be able to get that first house. Okay, just call him and say, hey, just I need some help. I need some help on this. I want to buy a first house. Help me get to do this. 713-520-5626. 713-520-5626 or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage LLC, NMLS number 248-2473. Jake and Jones, NMLS number 356118. Equal housing lender.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.